are listening to a Documentally podcast. Episode 2, Frustrated Artists and the Daleks. Meet Max, a kindly 30-something, sensitive soul without a mean streak. He lives and works in Rugby. He really wanted to be an artist and almost still does. But he isn't. He repairs mobile phones. He likes the Daleks and isn't sure who he'd save from a burning building. Ziggy Stardust or Jesus? Here are some of his thoughts.
The Random Interview on Documentally.com.
Before you do anything rash, like pressing another button, may I make an alternative suggestion?
Hello, this is Patrick Moore. You're listening to Documentally.com. Mentally documenting the mind.
You sound a little bit like Patrick Moore.
Funny thing is, actually, that people sometimes compare my dad to Patrick Moore.
I must admit, if there's one person I'd like to meet this year before he inevitably dies, which would be a very, very sad thing, but he is getting on a bit, it would be Patrick Moore.
I see.
Okay, I'm here with Maxwell Amos, but I think you let everybody call you Max.
That's right.
We're in Rugby Town, and kind of a random stop-off. I remember Max being one of the more creative people I know, a person that thinks outside of the box, for sure. And I just wondered if I would pop round and test my new recording device, ask a few questions, are you all right with that?
Yep, that sounds good to me.
Do you think there's other people like you out there?
I think we're quite a rare breed.
What springs to you as being the most creative thing you've ever done?
Well, I think sort of film and video work generally tends to be the most satisfying creative work I've done over the years.
What I know you've recorded a lot of music and you've made your own CDs. If you had a choice between music and film to follow a path, what would you do?
Difficult, really. I mean, what I often say is my dream job would be I'd like to be like the frontman of a band or perhaps a keyboardist in a band. But also take control of that band's artistic direction, and I would like to design all the sleeve art and direct the videos and all that kind of gubbins, basically. I mean, I have a degree in art, and I like to think that I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. If you had to take one piece of art to a desert island to enjoy, preferably not raft size.
Or so if I could, like, only save one piece of artwork from a house that's burning down or something.
That's probably a better analogy.
I think probably one of my paintings of one of the Archie Closet paintings, perhaps. Archie Closet was a character I created when I was at Leamington College in the early 90s.
So was Archie Closet a kind of another personality for yourself?
Sort of semi alter ego type character, really.
Why Archie Closet?
He was a character who was permanently surrounded by a brick wall, and the Archie really came from architecture, and the closet bit, well, a closet is a small room, basically.
Did he have a toilet in there?
I never really thought about it. I mean, he was Archie Closet, not Archie Water Closet.
Okay.
Just to remind you, you're listening to Documentally.com.
Art, to a certain extent, takes, I guess, a piece of your time, but your spare time more than anything else. You don't work necessarily in an artistic medium. Do you think that society enables you to follow your dreams or not?
It makes it very difficult. You need to have a lot of self-confidence and a lot of self-belief and a lot of determination if you're going to really sort of make it as an artist. I mean, you're right. I mean, I'm not employed in an artistic field at all. I would dearly love to be. I'd love to really work in a creative environment, work in the media or something like that. After I did my art degree, I then did a graphic design course, and I did for a few years. I did odd bits of freelance graphic design work. Well, I still do, but I've never really managed to get enough work to enable me to quit the day job and work on it.
Do you think it's important to be a commercial artist?
Well, the thing is, I mean, if you want to make a living from your art, then you've got to be fairly commercial about it. I mean, it would be very, very nice. It'd be nice to have enough money to not to have to worry about money and just produce whatever art I like. But that is a bit idealistic, really.
For me to draw a conclusion, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's more about confidence than being creative. Is that what you're saying? What percentage creativity, what percentage confidence to survive as a creative person in the working world?
The thing is, you've got to have a lot of self-belief, a lot of determination, and you've got to have the artistic, creative ability to succeed. I think even now there's not that many fine arts graduates that are really household names. I mean, I think most people have heard of Tracy Emin and Damien Hirst, but how many others are household names? I mean, every year you've got thousands probably of people graduating with fine art degrees or similar qualifications. And how many of them, what percentage really are going to end up making their art earn a living for them? Unfortunately, there's a lot of us that end up having to take up more mundane forms of employment.
Do you think that not working in a field that you're not necessarily passionate about is equivalent to selling your soul?
Perhaps in some ways. I used to this romantic idea about being able to make a living from selling paintings and stuff. I think the way I really feel is that I'm not in my day-to-day employment. I'm not using my talents. I'm not really using the qualifications I have acquired over the years, and I do feel they're going to waste, really.
Do you think you might have given up? Do you think you might have had enough knockbacks in the working world to think that I might as well just earn a living now? Just a 9-to-5 and do, you know...
Well, I mean, I don't see myself as having given up on it. I mean, I still do creative stuff when I've got time for it here and there. I'd like to think of it more perhaps as being put on hold.
You are listening to a Documentally.com podcast.
If somebody could wave a magic wand now and say, okay, Max, please create a job for yourself, what would you do? And you have to do this job for the rest of your life.
That's a very interesting question. One of the things that I'm actually quite afraid of is self-employment, really. The thing is, in many ways, I do actually prefer to be employed by an employer, which does make the paperwork a little easier.
I only have to look around myself to see that paperwork is not necessarily top of your priorities. Or is it that you're just filing everything under keep? If I just explain briefly what the podcast obviously can't see, Max is I don't know whether you'd call yourself a hoarder or a clutterbug or someone who finds use in absolutely every object possibly known to man. I can see a manual for the Spectrum computer, which I'm sure hasn't been used recently, but would probably fetch a pretty penny on eBay.
I think it blew up about 18 years ago.
Not the manual, the computer, obviously. Did you have a squidgy key one? Or
no, it was the Spectrum Plus.
Oh.
With the proper plastic keys, but which still felt like jelly when you pressed them.
What's the oldest thing in this room that probably should have been thrown away?
There's some of my dad's computer game scores pinned up on the notice board here.
1992?
Yes,
I see. Yeah, that's a fair. That's on a pin to a notice board on the wall, and nothing's obviously been pinned over it. Is this the sign of a creative household?
I think it, possibly
a busy household.
Eccentric household, perhaps.
Who is the most eccentric in the family?
I don't know.
Everybody's as eccentric as everybody else.
Well, yes. I mean, everyone's eccentric in different ways.
Do you think eccentricity could be defined by saying basically people that prioritise differently to others?
I think that might be it. I think that's a very good way of putting it, yes.
This is a unique room in the regards that I can actually see the floor on certain areas.
okay. But I know this drawer here has collapsed.
Under the weight?
Yes.
That's because they're designed to be closed and full.
Yes.
Not open and skip-like. Do you think it hinders your creativity when you can't kind of...
What hinders creativity is not having the time to spend being creative. If you've got a job and you sort of work quite some way away from your base.
What are you doing at the moment?
I work in the telecommunications industry, which sounds kind of fun, but I'm basically a technician in the telecommunications industry. I repair stuff, and I've been employed in this sort of area for very nearly 5 years. It'll be 5 years this year. Well, it exercises my mind, but it's... There are other parts of my mind which I would rather be exercising more.
Have you ever had an IQ test?
I think it always helps to have a high IQ. In some ways, I think sort of attitudes and an open mind are perhaps more important. I mean, I didn't go to Oxford or Cambridge or anything like that.
Could you have?
Not with the GCSEs I got, no.
Did you find exams quite difficult?
Yes, it's the problem I think I have with exams is really just that pressure on you to recall certain data at a certain time in a certain room. You know, when we're in the deathly silence of the exam hall or whatever. I mean, it took me a few attempts to pass a driving test. And that was because I was just so nervous in the practical driving test. And it was just having a sort of stranger sat next to you who you know is examining every little thing that you do. He's like sort of noting every glance into the rearview mirror and sort of every quarter turn of the steering wheel. He's watching every time you put your left foot on the clutch. In many ways I work well under pressure, but not if I'm sort of being examined in microscopic detail. I do struggle to perform in those kind of conditions. It's, I think, the nature of being tested, basically, that has always been a bit of a problem for me.
How many times did you do your test?
Quite a few.
Can you give us a number?
I passed the practical driving test on my 11th attempt.
You are listening to a Documentally podcast.
What do your parents do, just out of interest?
My father is a minister of a church in Birmingham, and my mum, as a minister's wife, is sort of very involved in the church as well.
Do you think you've inherited any of their eccentricities?
I would say my parents are quite eccentric, yes.
Do you find that the kind of religious side of your family takes over the more scientific side? Which I'm sure you... I mean, I know that you are quite clued into the latest technologies and how science is progressing massively. Do you find yourself torn between the two, or...?
I mean, my Christian faith sort of shapes, greatly influences and shapes my attitudes to everything. I mean, I don't sort of see a science and technology being at odds with my faith in any way.
So you believe in evolution theory? Or?
Well, yes, I mean, I am absolutely not a fundamentalist Christian. There's a lot of stories in the Old Testament, including the story of creation in the Book of Genesis, which I regard as parables. The stories make many good and valid points, but I don't believe that all human beings are literally descended from somebody called Adam and somebody called Eve. And
it could just be your common sense kicking in as well.
Well, yes. But, I mean, there are plenty of people that do believe we are. I mean, I regard myself as being quite level-headed and rational, really. I don't think God has a problem with advances in science and technology. I think, I think God would think that if the church can make good use of science and technology, then that's great.
Do you give God a physical form when you talk about God, or is God more of an idea?
I don't think of God as having a physical existence as such, he is more than just an idea. The thing is, God created the universe, and I think all too often people try to apply logic to God, Satan, heaven, hell. But God was around long before logic was created. There's no rational reason, in my opinion, for God to abide by sort of the laws of physics. And
so you're saying he just is?
Exactly.
Does God exist just because we want him to?
No. God exists, I believe, whether we want him to or not. Because if that was the case, you could say God doesn't exist, and you could be right, and at the same time I could say God does exist, and I could also be right. No, God is very much there, and he is there for everyone. I mean, being a Christian is about having a personal relationship with God, basically. And basically, sort of, most people have got the potential within them to have a relationship with God.
Just so as the conversation doesn't necessarily turn into an episode of Heaven and Earth, which is not a bad programme.
Indeed, I enjoy it. It
speaks to all denominations, doesn't it?
Well, exactly.
I guess, you're single at the moment.
Yes.
Would your girlfriend of the future have to be a standardized thinker of normal thoughts? And would she have to be religious?
I think it was help matters if I had a girlfriend that was a Christian, yes. But, I mean, it's not necessarily essential, but I wouldn't really want to be in a relationship with someone where I'm constantly having to, like, defend my views and beliefs. And having that the same conversation time and time again. Mm-hmm. So it would help if I had a girlfriend that was a Christian. They don't have to be eccentric, but they'd have to be able to tolerate my eccentricities.
What's the weirdest thing you do? That she would have to tolerate?
Tolerate my complete inability to be tidy. I'm not entirely sure. I mean, the most important thing, really, is chemistry, I think.
Do you have a hero?
Heroes, yes. But do I idolise anybody? No. I mean, Jesus Christ, I suppose, is my ultimate hero. But, I mean, this is why I'm saying I don't idolise anyone, because I can't worship anybody other than God, basically. But, you know, I mean, I have heroes like some David Bowie, Tom Baker, I suppose.
Who's number two to God? Assuming that Jesus and God are the same.
Well, yes, exactly.
You never know, David Bowie might be listening to this.
Well, he might be, but
I suppose Tom Baker, because he's a Time Lord.
Well, perhaps, yes. I mean, Tom Baker was my favourite Doctor Who.
Not necessarily God's right-hand man, just I can see by the expression on your face, this is one of the hardest questions you've ever had to answer.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
Do you let down Doctor Who? Or do you let down Bowie?
I mean, I think we've had a new series of Doctor Who in the last 12 months, and we haven't had a David Bowie album in the last 12 months. I'm spending more time involved with Doctor Who stuff than I am with David Bowie stuff at the moment.
On the Doctor Who thing, how many Daleks do you own?
Somebody else asked me this question a few months ago. I don't know. It's got to be in three figures, I would have thought. I mean,
is there a possibility that you might one day have a tidy up and find the Holy Grail of Daleks?
No, because the Holy Grail of Daleks is rather expensive, and I know I haven't got one. I mean, the Daleks range in size from this one that's about 2 centimetres tall to I've got some radio-controlled Daleks, which are about 12 inches tall.
Are they ever used, or is it just for collecting sake?
The radio-controlled Daleks have been used.
If you couldn't be Doctor who would you be in a Doctor Who novel or TV programme?
Well, I mean, it would be I would feel very privileged to get the chance to play any character in a Doctor Who episode. I must admit, I would quite like to be Doctor Who, and I'm probably about the right age to be a Doctor Who these days. I think he's got stuck.
What is the chance of that? Give him a shake.
We've had exterminate from him once before. If I take the battery out and put it in again, that might help.
Oh, Only one exterminate. What year is this one?
1975, they first went on sale, and they were made up to about 1980.
So is that a little computer inside it, 1975?
There's like a little gramophone disc, basically. It's like a little record. And with a little needle on it.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, I think it is more amazing, really, than having digital sound chips and everything these days. This is one of the better ones. I think the other one doesn't work quite so well.
Oh, it's giving me flashbacks to my childhood. I think it might be an idea to come back and do a podcast solely on Doctor Who and the Daleks. Would you be up for that?
I don't see why not.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Max. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye then.
Bye.
Please, if you want to email me anything, questions, answers, whatever you want, just send them to podcast@documentally.com.
Just to remind you, you're listening to documentally.com, and if we're not too lazy, coming up next time...
Do you not worry for your own safety?
I know the government will go to great lengths, and there are many question marks over various deaths and impacts that have happened in the country. But I think the strong point that I've got is that so many people are involved. So I think, you know, even if they came to bump me off, it would be a hollow victory for them because it would not stop the word, spreading. They're too late. They should have thought of that about 4 years ago. They're threatening, menacing and horrible. The government knows that people will die. They actually rang me up at home and said, don't try it on with us.
This sounds like a right mess.
The problem is that the people of Rugby have to die. And so this is where we're at. No, this is a war.
You were listening to documentally.com. Now do yourself a favor and email podcast@documentally.com.
Before I go, I just want to tell you, you were fantastic.
I think I'm going to crash.